The Three Knowledges, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. So I have heard. At one time the Buddha was wandering in the land of the Kosalans, together with a large sangha of 500 mendicants, when he arrived at a village of the Kosalan Brahmins named Manasakata. He stayed in a mango grove on a bank of the river Achiravati to the north of Manasakata. Now at that time, several very well-known, well-to-do Brahmins were residing in Manasakata. They included the Brahmins Chunky, Tarukka, Pokarasati, Janusoni, Tudeya, and others. Then, as the students Vasata and Bharadwaja were going for a walk, they began a discussion regarding the variety of paths. Vasata said this: "This is the only straight path, the direct route that leads someone who practices it to the company of Brahma, namely that explained by the Brahmin Pokarasati." Bharadwaja said this: "This is the only straight path, the direct route that leads someone who practices it to the company of Brahma, namely that explained by the Brahmin Tarukka." But neither was able to persuade the other. So Vasita said to Bharadwaja, "Bharadwaja, the ascetic Gotama, a Sakyan gone forth from a Sakyan family, is staying in a mango grove on a bank of the river Achiravati to the north of Manasakata. He has this good reputation. That blessed one is perfected, a fully awakened Buddha, accomplished in knowledge and conduct, holy, knower of the world, supreme guide for those who wish to train, teacher of gods and humans, awakened, blessed. Come, let's go to see him and ask him about this matter. As he answers, so we'll remember it." "Yes, sir," replied Bharadwaja. So they went to the Buddha and exchanged greetings with him. When the greetings and polite conversation were over, they sat down to one side and Vasata told him of their conversation, adding, "In this matter we have a dispute, a disagreement, a difference of opinion." "So, Vasata, it seems that you say that the straight path is that explained by Pokarasati, while Bharadwaja says that the straight path is that explained by Tarukka. But what exactly is your disagreement about?" "About the variety of paths, Master Gotama. Even though Brahmins describe different paths, the Adariya Brahmins, the Titariya Brahmins, the Chandaka Brahmins, and the Bhavhadija Brahmins, all of them lead someone who practices them to the company of Brahma. It's like a village or town that has many different roads nearby, yet all of them meet at that village. In the same way, even though Brahmins describe different paths, the Adhirya Brahmins, the Titiriya Brahmins, the Chandaka Brahmins, and the Bhavhadija Brahmins, all of them lead someone who practices them to the company of Brahma. Do you say they lead someone, Vasita?"
"I do, Master Gotama."
"Do you say they lead someone, Vasita?"
"I do, Master Gotama."
"Do you say they lead someone, Vasita?"
"I do, Master Gotama."
"Well, of the Brahmins who are proficient in the three Vedas, Vasita, is there even a single one who has seen Brahma with their own eyes?"
"No, Master Gotama."
"Well, has even a single one of their teachers seen Brahma with their own eyes?"
"No, Master Gotama."
"Well, has even a single one of their teachers' teachers seen Brahma with their own eyes?"
"No, Master Gotama."
"Well, has anyone back to the seventh generation of teachers seen Brahma with their own eyes?"
"No, Master Gotama."
"Well, what of the ancient hermits of the Brahmins, namely Ataka, Vamaka, Vamadeva, Vasamita, Yamadagi, Angirasa, Bharadwaja, Vasita, Kasapa, and Bhakku? They were the authors and propagators of the hymns. Their hymnal was sung and propagated and compiled in ancient times, and these days Brahmins continue to sing and chant it, chanting what was chanted and teaching what was taught. Did they say
We know and see where Brahma is or what way he lies.
No, Master Gotama.
So it seems that none of the Brahmins have seen Brahma with their own eyes, and not even the ancient hermits claimed to know where he is. Yet the Brahmins proficient in the three Vedas say, we teach the path to the company of that which we neither know nor see. This is the only straight path, the direct route that leads someone who practices it to the company of Brahma.
What do you think, Vasudeva?
This being so, doesn't their statement turn out to have no demonstrable basis?
Clearly that's the case, Master Gotama.
Good, Vasudeva. For it is impossible that they should teach the path to that which they neither know nor see. Suppose there was a queue of blind men, each holding the one in front. The first one does not see, the middle one does not see, and the last one does not see. In the same way, it seems to me that the Brahmin's statement turns out to be comparable to a queue of blind men. The first one does not see, the middle one does not see, and the last one does not see. Their statement turns out to be a joke, mere words, void and hollow.
What do you think, Vasudeva?
Do the Brahmins proficient in the three Vedas see the sun and moon just as other folk do? And do they pray to them and beseech them, following their course from where they rise to where they set, with joined palms held in worship?
Yes, Master Gotama.
What do you think, Vasudeva?
Though this is so, are the Brahmins proficient in the three Vedas able to teach the path to the company of the sun and moon, saying, this is the only straight path, the direct route that leads someone who practices it to the company of the sun and moon?
No, Master Gotama.
So it seems that even though the Brahmins proficient in the three Vedas see the sun and moon, they are not able to teach the path to the company of the sun and moon.
But it seems that even though they have not seen Brahma with their own eyes, they still claim to teach the path to the company of that which they neither know nor see.
What do you think, Vasudeva?
This being so, doesn't their statement turn out to have no demonstrable basis?
Clearly that's the case, Master Gotama.
Good, Vasudeva. For it is impossible that they should teach the path to that which they neither know nor see.
Suppose a man were to say, whoever the finest lady in the land is, it is her that I want, her that I desire.
They'd say to him, mister, that finest lady in the land who you desire, do you know whether she's an aristocrat, a Brahmin, a merchant, or a worker?
Asked this, he'd say, no.
They'd say to him, mister, that finest lady in the land who you desire, do you know her name or clan, whether she's tall or short or medium, whether her skin is black, brown or tawny, what village, town or city she comes from?
Asked this, he'd say, no.
They'd say to him, mister, do you desire someone who you've never even known or seen?
Asked this, he'd say, yes.
What do you think, Vasudeva?
This being so, doesn't that man's statement turn out to have no demonstrable basis?
Clearly that's the case, sir.
In the same way, doesn't the statement of those Brahmins turn out to have no demonstrable basis?
Clearly that's the case, Master Gotama.
Good, Vasudeva.
For it is impossible that they should teach the path to that which they neither know nor see.
Suppose a man was to build a ladder at the crossroads for climbing up to a stilt longhouse.
They'd say to him, mister, that stilt longhouse that you're building a ladder for, do you know whether it's to the north, south, east or west, or whether it's tall or short or medium?
Asked this, he'd say, no.
They'd say to him, mister, are you building a ladder for a longhouse that you've never even known or seen?
Asked this, he'd say, yes.
What do you think, Vasudeva?
This being so, doesn't that man's statement turn out to have no demonstrable basis?
Clearly that's the case, sir.
In the same way,
doesn't the statement of those Brahmins turn out to have no demonstrable basis? Clearly that's the case, Master Gotama. Good, Vasudeva. For it is impossible that they should teach the path to that which they neither know nor see. Suppose the river Achiravati was full to the brim so a crow could drink from it. Then along comes a person who wants to cross over to the far shore. Standing on the near shore, they'd call out to the far shore, "Come here, far shore, come here, far shore." What do you think, Vasudeva? Would the far shore of the Chiravati River come to the near shore because of that man's call, request, desire, or expectation? No, Master Gotama. In the same way, Vasudeva, the Brahmins proficient in the three Vedas proceed, having given up those things that make one a true Brahmin, and having undertaken those things that make one not a true Brahmin. Yet they say, "We call upon Indra, we call upon Soma, we call upon Isana, we call upon Pachapati, we call upon Brahma, we call upon Mahiddhi, we call upon Yama." So long as they proceed in this way, it's impossible that they will, when the body breaks up after death, be reborn in the company of Brahma. Suppose the river Achiravati was full to the brim so a crow could drink from it. Then along comes a person who wants to cross over to the far shore. But while still on the near shore, their arms are tied tightly behind their back with a strong chain. What do you think, Vasudeva? Could that person cross over to the far shore? No, Master Gotama. In the same way, the five kinds of sensual stimulation are called chains and fetters in the training of the Noble One. What five? Sights known by the eye that are likeable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual, and arousing. Sounds known by the ear that are likeable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual, and arousing. Smells known by the nose that are likeable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual, and arousing. Tastes known by the tongue that are likeable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual, and arousing. Touches known by the body that are likeable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual, and arousing. These are the five kinds of sensual stimulation that are called chains and fetters in the training of the Noble One. The Brahmins proficient in the three Vedas enjoy these five kinds of sensual stimulation, tied, infatuated, attached, blind to the drawbacks, and not understanding the escape. So long as they enjoy them, it's impossible that they will, when the body breaks up after death, be reborn in the company of Brahma. Suppose the river Achiravati was full to the brim so a crow could drink from it. Then along comes a person who wants to cross over to the far shore, but they'd lie down wrapped in cloth from head to foot. What do you think, Vasudeva? Could that person cross over to the far shore? No, Master Gotama. In the same way, the five hindrances are called obstacles and hindrances and coverings and shrouds in the training of the Noble One. What five? The hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, dullness and drowsiness, restlessness and remorse, and doubt. These five hindrances are called obstacles and hindrances and coverings and shrouds in the training of the Noble One. The Brahmins proficient in the three Vedas are hindered, obstructed, covered and shrouded by these five hindrances. So long as they are so obstructed, it's impossible that they will, when the body breaks up after death, be reborn in the company of Brahma. What do you think, Vasudeva? Have you heard that the Brahmins who are elderly and senior, the teachers of teachers, say whether Brahma is possessive or not? That he is not, Master Gotama. Is his heart full of enmity or not? It is not. Is his heart full of ill will or not? It is not. Is his heart corrupted or not? It is not. Does he wield power or not? He does. What do you think, Vasudeva? Are the Brahmins proficient in the three Vedas possessive or not? They are. Are their hearts full of enmity or not? They are. Are their hearts full of ill will or not? They are. Are their hearts corrupted or not? They are. Do they wield power or not? They do not. So it seems that the Brahmins proficient in the three Vedas are possessive, but Brahma is not. But would Brahmins who are possessive come together and converge with Brahma who isn't possessive? No, Master Gotama. Good, Vasata. It's impossible that the Brahmins who are possessive will, when the body breaks up after death, be reborn in the company of Brahma, who isn't possessive. And it seems that the Brahmins have enmity, ill will, corruption, and do not wield power, while Brahma is the opposite in all these things. But would Brahmins who are opposite to Brahma in all things come together and converge with him? No, Master Gotama. Good, Vasata. It's impossible that such Brahmins will, when the body breaks up after death, be reborn in the company of Brahma. But here the Brahmins, proficient in the three Vedas, sink down where they have sat, only to be torn apart, all the while imagining that they're crossing over to drier ground. That's why the three Vedas of the Brahmins are called a salted land, and a barren land, and a disaster. When he said this, Vasata said to the Buddha, I have heard, Master Gotama, that you know the path to company with Brahma. What do you think, Vasata? Is the village of Manasakata nearby? Yes, it is. What do you think, Vasata? Suppose a person was born and raised in Manasakata, and as soon as they left the town, some people asked them for the road to Manasakata. Would they be slow or hesitant to answer? No, Master Gotama. Why is that? Because they were born and raised in Manasakata. They're well acquainted with all the roads to the village. Still, it's possible they might be slow or hesitant to answer. But the realized one is never slow or hesitant when questioned about the Brahma realm or the practice that leads to the Brahma realm. I understand Brahma, the Brahma realm, and the practice that leads to the Brahma realm. Practicing in accordance with which one is reborn in the Brahma realm. When he said this, Vasata said to the Buddha, I have heard, Master Gotama, that you teach the path to company with Brahma. Please teach us that path and elevate this generation of Brahmins. Well then, Vasata, listen and pay close attention. I will speak. Yes, sir, replied Vasata. The Buddha said this. It's when a realized one arises in the world, perfected, a fully awakened Buddha. That's how a mendicant is accomplished in ethics. Seeing that the hindrances have been given up in them, joy springs up. Being joyful, rapture springs up. When the mind is full of rapture, the body becomes tranquil. When the body is tranquil, they feel bliss. And when blissful, the mind becomes immersed. They meditate, spreading a heart full of love to one direction, and to the second, and to the third, and to the fourth. In the same way, above, below, across, everywhere, all around, they spread a heart full of love to the whole world, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. Suppose there was a powerful hornblower. They'd easily make themselves heard in the four directions. In the same way, when the heart's release by love has been developed and cultivated like this, any limited deeds they've done don't remain or persist there. This is a path to companionship with Brahma. Furthermore, a mendicant meditates spreading a heart full of compassion to one direction, and to the second, and to the third, and to the fourth. In the same way, above, below, across, everywhere, all around, they spread a heart full of compassion to the whole world, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. Suppose there was a powerful hornblower. They'd easily make themselves heard in the four directions. In the same way, when the heart's release by compassion has been developed and cultivated like this, any limited deeds they've done don't remain or persist there. This is a path to companionship with Brahma. They meditate, spreading a heart full of rejoicing, to one direction, and to the second, and to the third, and to the fourth. In the same way above, below, across, everywhere, all around, they spread a heart full of rejoicing to the whole world, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. Suppose there was a powerful hornblower. They'd easily make themselves heard in the four directions. In the same way, when the heart's released by rejoicing has been developed and cultivated like this, any limited deeds they've done don't remain or persist there. This is a path to companionship with Brahma. They meditate, spreading a heart full of equanimity to one direction, and to the second, and to the third, and to the fourth. In the same way above, below, across, everywhere, all around, they spread a heart full of equanimity to the whole world, abundant, expansive, limitless, free of enmity and ill will. Suppose there was a powerful hornblower. They'd easily make themselves heard in the four directions. In the same way, when the heart's release by equanimity has been developed and cultivated like this, any limited deeds they've done don't remain or persist there. This too is a path to companionship with Brahma. What do you think, Vasata? When a mendicant meditates like this, are they possessive or not? They are not. Is their heart full of enmity or not? It is not. Is their heart full of ill will or not? It is not. Is their heart corrupted or not? It is not. Do they wield power or not? They do. So it seems that that mendicant is not possessive, and neither is Brahma. Would a mendicant who is not possessive come together and converge with Brahma, who isn't possessive? Yes, Master Gotama. Good, Vasata. It's possible that a mendicant who is not possessive will, when the body breaks up after death, be reborn in the company of Brahma, who isn't possessive. And it seems that that mendicant has no enmity, ill will, corruption, and does wield power, while Brahma is the same in all these things. Would a mendicant who is the same as Brahma in all things come together and converge with him? Yes, Master Gotama. Good, Vasata. It's possible that that mendicant will, when the body breaks up after death, be reborn in the company of Brahma. When he had spoken, Vasata and Bharadwaja said to him, "Excellent, Master Gotama, excellent." As if he were writing the overturned, or revealing the hidden, or pointing out the path to the lost, or lighting a lamp in the dark so people with good eyes can see what's there, Master Gotama has made the teaching clear in many ways. We go for refuge to Master Gotama, to the teaching, and to the mendicant Sangha. From this day forth, may Master Gotama remember us as lay followers who have gone for refuge for life.